Hello, I'm Bex, and welcome to the Week Junior Show. Today, I'm joined by two of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14-year-olds. We've got editor Vanessa and writer Eve. So in this week's episode, we're going to be talking about why laughing is good for you, a mission to recruit more spies, and which famous frog inspired the name of a fossil. We're also going to be having a big debate about whether chocolate belongs in the fridge. So speaking of chocolate, I want to know, what is your Easter chocolate of choice? Now, this is one of the biggest questions I could possibly ask, for me personally, to be honest. I love all chocolate, but particularly Easter, because I'm a big believer in the idea that chocolate tastes better in a shape. So I'm going to go classic. I'm going to go chocolate in the shape of an Easter egg. An Easter egg, you can't beat it. It's only available a certain time of the year. I love it very much. So all Easter eggs is generally what I'm going to say. Vanessa, how about you?
I've got to say, I love those, the lint bunnies, the classic ones with the red neck ribbon, not the salted caramel ones so much. Actually, in fairness, I'm not sure that I've even tried the salted caramel ones, but the classic ones are delicious.
I would have to agree with you on that. Those lint bunnies are very tasty indeed. Eve, how about you?
Well, I'm going to have to say I actually tried a salted caramel one earlier this week because our art director Dave bought one in and it was delicious, so I would highly recommend. But my chocolate of choice would be mini eggs. I just think they are the best thing on planet Earth. I love them. And last week I baked some fairy cakes with little mini eggs on top that I brought into the office and they were very good.
Yeah, I do love mini eggs as well. Oh my goodness, Easter chocolate is the best. Now, let's go on to talk about this week's cover. Vanessa, what's going on this week?
Well, we've got a very jolly, chuckly cover this week, and it focuses on laughter. So we've got lots and lots of laughing emojis because, though it might sound a bit odd, it's really difficult to get a picture of people laughing. They kind of look a bit posed or just a bit weird. So we looked at lots and lots of photos and decided eventually that emojis were the best. And this relates to a feature in our well-being section on page 19. And it's about why a giggle is good for you. And of course, you know, laughing makes you happy, of course. But sharing a good laugh also brings you closer to other people. And turns out if you face a challenge and you can laugh about it, you may well find it easier to overcome. And so I don't know if you've got any good jokes planned for this April Fool's Day, Bex, but, you know, it could be good for you.
Interesting. Now, I'm not... I love to laugh. I think laughing is a really good way of, like, you know, dealing with something and coping with stuff. But I'm not the best at playing pranks. I'm not the best at April Fool's Day stuff. Are you, Vanessa?
No, I actually find practical jokes a bit hard to take. Isn't that awful?
No, fair enough. Okay.
You know, sometimes pranks can sort of almost be a bit scary, and I am a big old baby about being scared. So yes, I think I prefer a really kind of, you know, a funny story or something. That's really what makes me laugh.
Well, speaking of funny stories, should we go for today's Real or Rubbish? Because this is the bit of the show where I get a funny story, I have to guess whether it's true or false, and I believe, Eve, it is your turn this week to try and trick me.
Yes, it is. So I found this story particularly exciting because it's all about spies, and I always wanted to be a spy when I was younger, and now it could be my time to shine, because GCHQ, which is one of the UK security organisations, has come up with a new way to recruit spies. So they've set up treasure hunts in cities around the UK, and budding secret agents must find the clues to spell out a special secret message. And GCHQ officials have said that anyone who can solve this puzzle is smart enough to become a spy. So Bex, do you think this is real, or are we laying a false trail?
Oh my goodness. This is okay. So, I mean, just the idea of a treasure hunt is always exciting, let's face it. So you're telling me that different cities around the UK have treasure hunts hidden inside them right now. And if you complete them, do you get to go to spy school? How does it work?
Yeah, well, you know, if you are clever enough to find all those clues and then put the special secret message together, then you're definitely going to be on GCHQ's radar, and they'll bring you in for an interview, and then maybe, yeah, I wonder what it's like. Do you go to spy school? I don't know how GCHQ works.
There must be more in-depth ways of finding spies and becoming a spy, but I like the idea of a treasure hunt. So how does it begin? Do you have to go on their website? Do they give you a little map? Do we know?
Yeah, I think they mentioned it on their website, and then you just kind of have to find your own way. So think what you can find around the city and then see what you can spot, put it all together. Maybe all the clues, I've personally not done the...
That's what a spy would say.
The treasure hunt. Yeah, well, yeah, maybe I'm already at spy school. After this episode, I need to dash off. But, you know, I don't know if all the clues link to each other or if maybe they're all separate, but then you put them all together. Who knows?
I love the idea of becoming a spy by completing a treasure hunt, because I love treasure hunts, I love quizzes, but I feel like, is that a good enough reason or way to become a spy? I don't know. Do we know how long the treasure hunt's meant to take? Is it like an hour? Is it over a few weeks?
Oh, I don't know. But I guess it depends, again, how clever you are, how do you have the mindset of a spy? Because you'd hope a spy could solve a treasure hunt in, you know, 24 hours or something.
Sure.
If it takes you a week, they might say, oh, sorry, you're okay. You can be our backup spy in case someone calls in sick.
You can be deputy spy.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated. I wonder what the word that spells out is. I wonder if the word is just GCHQ. I mean, that would be pretty
imagine. That would be good, wouldn't it? If you did all that and then it just spells out their name.
I love the idea of this being a way of recruiting spies, but I feel like that it seems like a low bar I'm going to put out there.
Well, I imagine it's quite complicated, and it's a good way to, as well, get people, all sorts of people, to become spies, because anyone can get involved. You know, they're not asking a specific type of person to do it. So anyone around the UK living in those cities can get involved. Or if you don't live in that city, you could get the train over just to... just to start solving the clues.
Maybe it's a good way of getting kids, getting our, you know, Week Junior listeners and readers involved. I don't know. Maybe it's a good way of getting people in from a young age. I'm not sure. I'm interested about that one. Okay. So while I think about becoming a spy, let's talk about our book of the week, which is Keady by Elle McNichol. Now, I love this book. I've read it and it's brilliant. It's set 5 years before her award-winning story, A Kind of Spark, which you also may have seen on TV because it was adapted for CBBC last year. And it's about the experience of Keady, who's an autistic teenager growing up in a small town. It's about kindness, seeing things differently, and standing up for what you believe in. And we've got a message here from the author.
Hi there, listeners of the Week Junior Show. My name is Elle McNichol, author of Keady, which has been selected as Book of the Week in the current issue of the magazine. And I'm here to answer a very important question. What was my favourite children's book growing up? Now, it's not technically a children's book, but I did love it as a child, and it's called The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas. And it's an amazing adventure story, all about justice, and it definitely inspired me to write Keady. Thank you!
Of course, we love messages from authors, but we love messages from our readers and listeners as well. Vanessa, what have you spotted this week?
Well, we got a fantastic message from Amber, who said, I went crab catching with my dad in Scotland. We caught 15 in total. We let them back into the sea afterwards and gave them some food to snack on.
Amber looks very, very happy there. I'm so impressed. Eve, have you ever done this?
I absolutely love going crab catching. It's so fun. I actually used to do it with my dad as well whenever we went on holiday. And it's amazing. Like, once you catch one, suddenly all the crabs are coming over. They love the bait, and it's really fun. And then obviously you let them back out in the sea afterwards. But I think it's such a fun thing to do. So I'm very jealous, Amber. I need to do that now.
Yeah. All right. Even Amber are on the same team. We also have a message from Ellen, who's told us what she's doing for the Easter holidays.
Hello, The Week Junior. It's Ellen. Again. I'm 13 years old and I'm from Rugby. This week I'm very excited because it's the start of the Easter holidays and I'm going to the cinema to watch Ghostbusters with my friends, and I'm going shopping as well. I'm so excited and I can't wait. Thank you and goodbye.
Vanessa, any thoughts on Ellen's big plans?
Yeah, I'm incredibly impressed by how organised she is. I haven't made any plans at all. So I feel like I should be inspired and get going and make a plan.
Yes, Ellen has absolutely put us to shame there, I think. And of course, we do love receiving your news. So tell us what you've been up to over Easter. Email us at hello@thewikjunior.co.uk. Or, of course, you can leave a voice note just like Ellen did. Go to funkidslive.com/thewikjunior. Just look for that big red button, grab a grown-up, record your voice, and you could star in next week's show. Now, Vanessa, there is something else going on right now at The Week Junior. Is that right?
That is correct. Our news survey, our reader survey about the news is still live. I want to thank everybody who's taken part already. We've got more than 580 entries, which is fantastic. But we're still looking for more because we're really greedy. So if you'd like to take part this weekend, have a look at tinyurl.com/TWJ-survey-news.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, Vanessa. Now let's go back into this new issue of The Week Junior and talk about some of the top stories from the week. Vanessa, what was your pick?
Well, you know, I love a story about eating. Well, I thought I did until I read this story. This is a story about that some birds eat poo. Now, a new study, I know, I hope you're not eating your breakfast. A new study from the University of Australia finds that lots of birds eat poo and it is good for their health, amazingly. Now, before I go any further, I should say that birds' digestive systems are very, very different to those of humans. So not that I think that anyone is going to be tempted. It would not work with humans. In fact, eating poo could be very dangerous. So don't do it. Nobody do it. Anyway, back to the birds. The team found that for birds, eating poo changed the bacteria in their gut and it made it easier for them to absorb nutrients from foods that changed partly as the seasons change or as the birds migrate over really long distances and they have to eat different foods, whatever's available on the long journey.
All right, so tell me, Vanessa, come on, what sort of poo do they actually eat?
I'm so glad I made you ask that question, Bex. Well, I have to say it varies. Some species even eat their own chicks' poo. Robin and blue tit chicks, for example, produce little packages like a kind of poo dumpling, which their parents eat. And other species get what they need from the droppings of otters and whales. But it's still quite mysterious. And scientists say they need to do more work to understand bird health more fully.
Oh, my goodness. OK, what a story. Thank you very much for that, Vanessa. So, Eve, what do you have for us this week?
My story is slightly less disgusting than Vanessa's. Mine is about a fossil skull that was recently found at the Smithsonian Museum in the US. And when scientists saw it, the shape of the skull reminded them of something. It actually reminded them of Kermit the Frog. And this helped to inspire the fossil's name. And so scientists have named the species that the fossil came from, I hope I'm saying this correctly, Kermitops gratus. And yeah, so very lucky Kermit. It's a 270 million year old fossil and it's from a creature that hasn't previously been identified. It's an amphibian, which is a class of animals that includes salamanders, frogs and toads. And I just think that's a very cool name for the fossil.
That's so awesome. Why was the discovery itself important?
Well, scientists don't have a particularly detailed record of fossils from early amphibians. And that makes it very difficult for them to learn how today's frogs and toads actually evolved. But finding new species like Kermitops gratus will help them to understand more about these early species.
I love the idea of Kermit inspiring naming of scientific things. That's brilliant. Two excellent stories, guys. But now it's time for this week's big debate. And just in time for Easter, we're talking all about chocolate, one of my favourite things ever. So here's what you got to know. Between 80 and 90 million chocolate Easter eggs are sold in the UK every year. And a report found that in 2023 alone, chocolate sales in the UK were expected to be worth around £7 billion. According to lots of chocolate experts, the best way to store chocolate is in a cool, dark place at a temperature between 18 and 20 degrees Celsius. Now, the average fridge temperature is much lower, between 3 and 5 degrees. And a survey published by the chocolate brand Galaxy in 2022 found that 78% of adults prefer to keep their chocolate in the fridge. So the question for this week's big debate is, does chocolate belong in a fridge? Here's how it works. Each person has 60 seconds to make their case. And first up, we've got Vanessa arguing that chocolate should go in the fridge. So Vanessa, I'm going to get this clock up here. Here we go. And whenever you're ready, take it away.
Well, I've given up chocolate for Lent, so this is all part of my torture, though actually after that bird poo story, I'm not feeling very hungry at all. Now, this debate sprang from a conversation in the office about where we store our chocolate, and I am definitely a fridger. I think it ties in with my slightly miserly side in that it makes the chocolate last longer. For me and many other people, some of the pleasure of chocolate is that it melts at body temperature. So if the chocolate is chilled when you pop it in your mouth, you have to wait longer for it to melt, eking out the pleasure for longer. The other point is that if the chocolate has a caramel centre, it's even better because the caramel goes slightly chewy. If you eat caramel chocolate at room temperature, it's so soft, you often get a thin strand of caramel on your chin, which you don't notice until someone points it out to you. Is this just me? I'm not sure. I mean, I must make clear that chocolate is delicious in whatever state, but from the fridge, it is perfect.
Oh, my goodness. You know what, Vanessa, you were almost very convincing for me there because I'm more of an outside of the fridge person. But Eve, what do you say to Vanessa? How would you argue back?
Well, I'm going to win you back, Bex, because I hate putting chocolate in the fridge. Ooh. I don't think it ever tastes as good. It tastes weird. And it's actually not just me saying that. Chocolate experts say the fridge ruins the flavour of the product, so we should really listen to them. And also, my dad's a chef, and he doesn't think you should put chocolate in the fridge either, and I think you should listen to a chef. And also, sometimes when chocolate is put in the fridge, the sudden change of temperature from warm to cold can make it look a bit funny and chalky, which I never think is very appealing. When it's got little white bits on it, I think, oh, that's not quite as nice as what I was envisioning. And also, for me, one of the best parts about eating chocolate is, well, I'm quite impatient. So I want it to melt on my tongue straight away. I don't want to wait for it to, you know, gone from being cold in the fridge to melting on my tongue. I want it to melt straight away because that's such a nice feeling. Otherwise, if it's in the fridge, it goes all hard and it's more difficult to eat. And imagine trying to eat the solid ears of a lint bunny that's been in the fridge. That would be practically impossible.
You brought back Vanessa's Vanessa's favourite chocolate against
words
her.
Against me. And you're in a chef. I have to say, this is a pretty powerful argument.
And I also don't want to argue with Eve's dad, to be honest. So this is a tricky one. So if you've got an opinion on this, let us know right now. Go to theweekjunior.co.uk/polls to vote and tell us your thoughts. You can also comment your opinion wherever it is you're listening to this podcast or record a voice note. Just go to funkidslive.com/theweekjunior. Now, in last week's big debate, Vanessa and Elena discussed whether singers should stop swearing in songs. Eve, what were the results?
Well, it was quite a close one, but 54% said that singers should stop swearing in their songs to set a good example.
Closer than I thought, actually. And Vanessa, what messages did we get?
Well, we had quite a mixed bag, actually. Somebody said singers should be allowed to express themselves through the art of music and be able to sing freely. I just think it makes music sound a little bit rude sometimes, but works in the context of the song. And then somebody else said, loads of people love listening to songs and it doesn't matter if they have swear words in. Their parents and teachers can teach them not to use swear words, even if they hear them and they know what they are. This will make them more responsible. And then the final comment that we've chosen is, I don't like that my little brother always copies them. And it's a bad example for children.
Ah, good point. All right. Well, lots of interesting opinions on that. And I'm sure we'll have lots of interesting chocolate opinions as well. Like I said, if you want to get involved, go to theweekjunior.co.uk/polls. Now, before we go, it's time to reveal the truth about this week's real or rubbish story. Eve, can you remind me what it is, please?
Yeah, so this is all about the treasure hunt that GCHQ have set up in cities around the UK to recruit new spies if they manage to solve it and get the little message.
Now, I really like the idea of this, but it seems a bit like... Not to be rude, but I want my spies to have gone through a more thorough training than a treasure hunt. I feel like a spy is somebody who, like, the nation relies on. They're travelling. They're learning about state secrets. They're maybe discovering facts. And it feels like a treasure hunt maybe isn't enough to really get the right people, I suppose. Because if I can do a treasure hunt, and I'm definitely not spy material, I just don't know.
I don't think they make you a spy as soon as you do the treasure hunt.
You don't instantly get the job, Bex. It's like, it's more like, you know, you do the treasure hunt and then you're through to boot camp. You're through to the next round. And then maybe you have to do a few other trials. But it basically eliminates the people that can't do the treasure hunt. And I think the idea is that they're looking out for people who have the kind of the mindset to be able to put different clues together and solve something difficult. And also to, you know, if someone's got a really good attention span and they can kind of keep up with solving that puzzle. Because, I mean, I really hate doing puzzles, so I'd probably give up with about 5 minutes. So even though I said I want to be a spy, I don't actually know if I'd be a very good one because I'd give up on solving the case quite quickly.
I quite like puzzles. In fact, I carry a puzzle book around with me most of the time. Which
See, Bex, you could be. This could be you. And, you know, you do the treasure hunt, you get the answer. Maybe it is GCHQ, like you said earlier. And then you're through to boot camp and they'll maybe throw a few more trials your way.
I'm glad we've agreed that, okay, if you get the treasure hunt right, that doesn't necessarily mean you're like, job's yours. It just seems like such, it seems too easy to become a spy. I feel like it's not enough effort. And that is my main problem with it. You know, you might as well just do a scavenger hunt. I don't know whether I feel...
Well, I feel like it's a unique way for them to reach out to people. It's something a bit different. Maybe their previous hiring method just wasn't working out.
I like the idea that you said it kind of maybe attracts different types of people, and it's a good way of like getting different people involved. But I just I just feel like a treasure hunt might not be enough to really to get people.
It's a really hard treasure hunt. Really difficult. And
you work for GCHQ, Eve? Is that what you're telling me? Have you done it?
Yeah, maybe I have. And maybe I was lying when I said I have a short attention span. Maybe actually I'm really good at solving puzzles. Or maybe I'm not, and you'll never know.
Oh, the classic double bluff. Okay. I'm not convinced, guys. I just can't imagine it's going to be the way. I'm so sorry. I'm going to say it's rubbish this week. I can't. That's my gut instinct, and that's what I'm going to go with.
Okay. Well, drum roll, please. It's rubbish. You're right, Bex. Oh.
Okay, come on. I feel like there is a caveat here.
Well, GCHQ have actually posted a visual puzzle on social media platform LinkedIn that they've asked people to solve as a way to kind of try and get some new people interested in becoming a spy. And it's actually the first UK intelligence agency to advertise for spies on LinkedIn. So they've definitely gone for a unique way, but it's not quite treasure hunt levels, unfortunately.
I mean, I do like the idea, but it just seemed too good to be true, to be honest, the idea of a treasure hunt for spies. But you know what? If they do it, well, let me know, because I might get involved. Like I said, I've got my puzzle book ready to go. I love a crossword. I love a code word. So maybe I'll make a spy yet. Anyway, that is it for this week's episode of The Week Junior Show. Big thank you, of course, to The Week Junior team, Vanessa and Eve. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe or follow us wherever it is you get your podcasts. Tune into next week's show, where we'll be joined by some more guests from the team for some stories, debates and chat. See you then. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast, which is made by the same people that make The Week Junior magazine. You can get 6 free issues of The Week Junior or 3 issues of The Week Junior Science and Nature for £5 by heading to theweekjunior.co.uk/podcast offer.